Acts chapter 8, if you got your Bible. While you're turning there, I want to read you something. The kids in Mission-Minded Minions and the Bible Institute, too, learned about a man named Jonathan Edwards. They said he shook two continents. And that means he had a lot of people get saved under his preaching and his influence and his ministry. And so I was reading this about your family history and curses and blessings on your family history. Listen to what happened to this man, a man named Jonathan Edwards, great preacher. Helped turn America around when it was going the wrong way. He had 11 children. He had 1,400 descendants. 13 of those became college presidents. 65 of those became college professors. 100 became lawyers. One became a dean of a law school. 30 were judges. 60 were doctors. One was dean of a medical school. There were 80 holders of public office in his descendants. There were 3 United States senators, 3 mayors of large U.S. cities, 3 state governors, 1 vice president, 135 books written through his family, 18 journals and periodicals written through his family, innumerable preachers that came out of his family, and over 100 overseas missionaries came from that man's family, direct descendants. You never know what you're going to do. Only time and history will tell what happened because of our lives. You'll never know. All right, Acts chapter 8, I want to talk to you for just a little bit tonight. I'm going to kind of do you like them Kardashian girls do their husbands. I won't keep you long. We'll just use you and throw you away. And no, I'm teasing. You know I don't have no short sermons. I'm 6'3". And so, but Acts chapter 8, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight about this man was a great preacher, but he was also a great soul winner. So I want to talk to you out of this chapter tonight on who can lead others to Jesus Christ. Who can lead others to Jesus Christ? I've heard it said over and over, I can't lead people to Christ. I'm going to show you who can lead others to Jesus Christ. If you'll start in verse 26 of chapter 8. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth. I want you to notice that. He just opened his mouth. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Amen. In Acts chapter 8, I want you to notice a couple things. A lot of times when we think of people that we want to win to Christ, we usually think of the down and out, the addict, the drunk, the wayward person, the lowest of the low. But I want you to notice in this is a man of high authority. This man represented the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. In other words, he was in control of her money. And he had went to Jerusalem to worship God. He went seeking the God of Israel. He went to find the answer to the seeking of his soul to find God. Now, he went to Jerusalem, and as you'll see as you read the story, he didn't find God. He went to the temple, that great temple there in Israel, thinking maybe if I go to the temple, I can find the God of that temple. But the God wasn't in the temple. He was the God of the temple, but he didn't find God in the temple. And now he's on his way home. He's on his way home. And as you see there in verses 32 through 34, now he's reading Isaiah chapter 53. He's still seeking. Now he's seeking in the right place. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, not a building. Okay? A wonderful place, a temple. And God did meet with his people in the temple, but God's not in the temple. God was in the word of God. And so as he read that, he was convicted. Now, I want you to notice this. God takes Philip. Is this thing messing up? Am I tearing it up? I keep hearing something. God takes Philip, not a famous preacher, even though he is a deacon evangelist, as all deacons ought to be. They ought to be soul winners. But he wasn't famous. He wasn't one of those. He wasn't a Peter. He wasn't a John. He wasn't as outspoken as they were, see. And so he is preaching, and people are being saved, but now the Holy Spirit tells him, I want you to go down to the desert. And I don't know what he would have thought, but I would have thought, well, who's in the desert? There ain't nobody in the desert. I always wonder about these Baptist preachers want to move to Oklahoma or somewhere, you know. I think, who are you going to preach to? The billy goats? I mean, there ain't nobody out there, you know, the rocks and the hills. But and I worry about a man that says he's a preacher wants to get away from people, amen, because that's where the ministry is, with people. But so he's out. All of a sudden, the Lord puts him down there with this man who's reading the Bible, seeking salvation. And look at verse 30. He ran up next to him and he said, understandest what thou readest? Do you know what you're reading here? That's what he said. Do you know what you're reading here? And the man said, look what he said. How can I except some man guide me? Somebody's got to guide me. Somebody that knows this book's got to guide me. Somebody that knows this God's got to guide me. Somebody that knows this Savior has got to guide me. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of people tell testimonies of getting saved in a motel room, or maybe outside a bar, laying in their own vomit or something, you know, things like that. And that's a wonderful testimony. But I've got news for you. Somebody that knew God had already talked to them. Somebody had already witnessed to them. Somebody had already tried to lead them to Christ, or at least had given them some information that would have headed them in the right direction. And that's what happened to this man right here. Somebody had already given him the Word of God. Somebody had already given him enough advice. You need to read this book. And now because of that, God has sent somebody to explain it. How can I except some man guide me? And the Bible says that he took that portion of Scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. He didn't preach him theology or eschatology or soteriology. Y'all didn't know I knew all those big words, did you? And he didn't teach them those things. He went straight to the heart of the matter, which is, here's a man seeking God. He's reading the Bible. The Holy Spirit set it up. He put me here. Now I'm going to tell him what he needs to hear. He needs to hear about Jesus. Amen. He doesn't need to hear about that temple. He's been there. He didn't get nothing. He doesn't need to hear about Judaism. He saw them. He didn't get nothing. He needs the Savior. That's what he needs. And because of that, I want you to notice in verse 36, they went on their way. They came to certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You know what the man's saying? Why can't I get baptized? He knew baptism was a part of what he'd seen in salvation. He knew that I don't know if he thought he'd get saved by getting baptized, but he said, "Here's water, and I've seen you guys get baptized. Why can't I get baptized?" And what did Philip say? "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And you know what the man did? Now listen, I want you to notice, Philip didn't say, "Pray this prayer with me." Now I've done that many times, sometimes at work, but I've also known a lot of people who said, "I've said that prayer many times," and they didn't get saved. So what Philip was saying, if you really believe it, if thou shalt believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus, and confess with thy mouth that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. Now, that's what he's telling him. Now, I tell people if they want to pray and be saved, I say, "I'll pray with you." But I was saved before I ever prayed. The moment that the Holy Spirit called me through the preaching of the Word of God that last time, and I stepped out by faith and headed toward that preacher to get what I thought, get what I needed, I was already getting it as I was headed that way. I was already being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I was already being forgiven of my sins. The Lamb's Book of Life was already getting my name written down, and all the prayer did was confirm what I already did, but I didn't know that. And here's a man that's looking at the first of the preachers and said, "Philip, why can't I get baptized?" And he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart." Look, do you know what he's saying? If you'll stake your eternal soul on it and you believe it that much, let's do it. And look what he said. He said, he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, that's the only qualification to be saved. Did you know that? I mean, if you believe it with all your heart. Now, I know heathens all over this town, they'll say, "Well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God," but they don't believe it with all their heart. They don't believe it enough to stake their eternal destiny upon that so they wouldn't have to die and go to hell. Now, they'll say it flippantly, but they really don't know what they're talking about. Or either they've done it so many times it doesn't mean anything anymore. But this man, he said, "I believe." That's all he said. And he was saved. The moment in your heart that you say, "I believe," you're born again. You're saved right then. You don't need to go to a class to figure that out. You don't need to go to some kind of confirmation ceremony. You don't have to go learn the catechism. You look up to heaven, you say, "Lord, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you're the sinless Son of God." That moment, you'll get born again. That's how I got saved. That's how you got saved. If you're saved, that's how you got saved. Now, you probably didn't know that's what you were doing. Somebody may have told you, "Well, you've got to pray this prayer." They probably didn't even know that all you had to do was believe. They thought it was in the prayer. It's not in the prayer. It's in the faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's when you get saved, see. Because at that moment, that's what's called a revelation. The Holy Spirit has revealed that to your spirit, see. Not your mind. He's revealed that to your spirit. And then because you receive that and you confess that, Then you have what's called a conversion. You're born again. You're converted from one thing to another thing, from a sinner to a saint. And that's all that happens. It is so simple. Jesus said, except you become as a little child, you'll in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. You look at your children, you look at somebody's children, you say, you think your mom and dad's going to take care of you? Sure I do. They got all the faith in the world that somebody's going to take care of them. And that's the kind of faith we have to have, that childlike faith. Amen. Now, people tell me all the time, they say, Pastor, I don't know how to lead somebody to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to give you three simple steps right here. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, look at it. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go. The first thing you have to have is a willing body. Amen. In this case, it was a man. It was a man of God. It was a preacher. It was actually an apostle. Now listen, sometimes you've got to, every time, you've got to have a willing body. Jesus said, the fields are white in the harvest. Pray you therefore the Lord of harvest. He sent forth laborers. For the labors are few and the harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of people who want to get saved, but there's not many willing saints that will go talk to them. Amen. Now, I've learned all kind of ways to talk to people, you know, over the years. And I have my way, and some people have their way. I did learn you have to win them to you first, you know, in the age that we live in. We have to win them to us. There's so many crooks and there's so many charlatans. You've got to win them to you first that they'll trust you. It wasn't like that in the first century right here. That hadn't happened yet, see. There were no crooks. There were no charlatans yet. The church was just being birthed and all that had not... there were no Jim Bakers, see. There was no Leroy Jenkins. There was no... Joel Osteen. Amen. There was no, and I can't even name those women preachers on television, but it wasn't none of them either. Amen. But the point is, in our age, I've learned that if I'll just go and I'll open my mouth and I start talking, and I love them, and I befriend them, and I try to be nice to them. I can't win them all, but occasionally I'll win one. But I can tell you this. A lot of them know this, and they'll tell you this, even if they don't come to this church. They'll say, I know if I ever want to get saved, I know where I can go. Ronnie will tell me how to get saved. Now, you don't have to be an eloquent speaker. You don't have to take... I teach classes on people how to win souls. Yeah, that's good. I'll teach you how to get in the door. I'll teach you how to say things. But what you've got to do, you've got to be a Philip that is willing just to go. You never know what you're going to walk up on. You never know. I walked up on people reading the Bible like this, wanting to get saved, and led them to Christ because they were already seeking Christ and they just needed somebody to guide them. That's happened to me on three occasions, I can tell you. Praise the Lord. I've had at least five occasions of people I'd walk up on and they had been seeking how to be saved and went from church to church to church and got all these different answers, and I take the simple gospel and say, well, have you ever tried this? And they said, well, I already believe that. I said, do you believe it enough to ask him to save you? Do you believe it enough to put your eternal destiny on him and him alone? Well, sure I do. Well, they didn't know it, brother. But all I was there for was to confirm what they already had done. They just didn't know it. I've taken the scriptures a lot of times. I'll go to see people and they'll say, well, preacher, I used to be saved and I'm not saved anymore. And I say, well, what does that mean? What are you talking about? Well, I'm backslid. I say, well, what does that mean? And they'll say, and by the way, backslid is only in the Old Testament, that word. That's not that I don't believe that people don't backslide, but I'm telling you, God doesn't put as much importance on that as people do. We all fail and fall and get back up and keep going. You can't always call that backsliding. And they'll say, well, I used to be saved, I'm not anymore. I say, well, let's just go through it. Let's just go through it. Number one, Have you ever admitted you as a sinner, that you're a child of Adam, you were born a sinner, you can't help yourself, and you're a sinner, and you need some help from God? Yeah, I've done that. I've told God that. I said, have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him dying in your place for those sins? Yeah, I've done that. I said, have you ever asked Him to save you? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They say, yeah, I've done that. I said, okay, now exactly what point of that did He ever say that you wouldn't be saved anymore? Give me a verse. Well, I heard this preacher say one time, I don't care what a preacher said, give me a Bible verse that says He cast His off His children, because I've got a bunch of them that says He don't. And they were already saved and didn't even know it. They were already saved and didn't know it. I've run up on people and buy them to church. They'll say, well, I used to go to church when I was young. My mama took me to church. My daddy took me to church. We were in church every Sunday, but something happened and we got out of church. And then I became a teenager and I just ran with the crowd. And I don't know if I'm saved or not. I say, well, let's go back over that. And I get them to go through it again. And I say, now, did you mean it when you asked Him to save you? And they say, well, sure I did. I said, you think God didn't? You think God didn't mean it? I said, I've got news for you. If you meant it, He meant it, and you're just as saved today as you were at 10 years old when you asked Him to save you. All they need is somebody that'll open their mouth. That's all they need. Somebody that'll go and open their mouth. So in order to see people saved, the first thing you've got to have is somebody willing to share. That's all you got. You say, well, I don't know all those Bible verses. Are you saved? Can you not tell them how He saved you? Can you not share your testimony, how you got born again? I mean, you can do that without Scripture. Now, I'm sure all of you that saved know some Scripture, even if you think you don't. And I've got news for you, too. If you'll open your mouth, some will come out and you don't even know you know. Now, you got to have a willing servant, number one, to see people saved. And by the way, why wouldn't you be with Him? Amen. Why wouldn't you be with Him? If you're going to heaven and you really believe that people that don't know Jesus Christ go to an everlasting burning fire, why would you not be willing to go tell somebody? Amen. And by the way, you don't have to go across, you don't have to be a missionary. You can go across the street. Some people could tell their own children. Some people could tell their own grandchildren. They've never done it. They've never done it. And so number one, you got to have a willing servant, as He was. He didn't argue with the Lord. He didn't say, they won't listen to me. I don't know where He's sending me. It's not comfortable. I don't feel comfortable there or doing that. He just got up and went. Did you notice that? Number two, I want you to look at verse 29. In verse 29, then the Spirit, did you notice that's a capital? That's His name, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit said unto Philip. Now, the next thing you need to do is you need the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, what I mean by that is Philip knew the Spirit of God. He knew the Holy Spirit. He had met the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He met the Holy Spirit that day. Now, before that, he had met the Lord. He had met the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd had a personal relationship with Him. He had been born again himself. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in all His power and all His presence. But hey, he knew when the Spirit taught. And by the way, if you're saved, you know when it's Spirit too. Don't lie to me. You know when it's the Spirit talking to you. And nine times out of ten, we'll ignore Him or we'll deny Him. But when the Spirit talks, if you got Him helping you talk, you've got the Creator of the universe sitting there with you talking. Amen. I'll tell you this. Y'all never did get me that fancy glass to put up here so Yankees wouldn't think we were rednecks drinking out of a bottle. Hard to hide. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God, the day that you were saved, moved into your soul. Now, you can't deny that. You didn't quit anything. He quit it for you. You didn't change anything. He changed it for you. Now, if you want to see other people saved, you've got to recognize that that same spirit that while the pastor was preaching on tithing, all you heard was you need to get saved. While the pastor was preaching on Pentecost, all you heard was hell. That same spirit, you can be talking about football. If you'll open your mouth, that old lost sinner you sit beside, don't even hear that. They recognize that you're a child of God, and the Holy Spirit, while you're speaking, the Holy Spirit's telling them to get saved, no matter what you're talking about.
Amen.
I used to hate it when they'd come to my house. Hated it. I'd be sitting there drinking a beer. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? And I'd hide that thing. And I'd put me on a shirt if I could get one quick enough. And they'd come in there and sit down on my couch. My kids would crawl up one of them's shoulder and down the other side of the other one, across the back of the couch, and sit up in their lap. And and I'm sitting over there a heathen, going to hell. I was already convicted before they ever got there. And then they walk in the door, and Brother BJ, it didn't matter what they talked about. All I heard was you need to get saved. All I heard is you need to get right with God. You need to get in church. You need to get baptized. You need to get your life changed. Or you're going to die and go to hell. It didn't matter what they talked about. That's what I was hearing because the Holy Spirit was speaking through them, and I heard what I needed to hear no matter what they said. Amen. You went to a church that believes absolutely hardly anything like you do now. And yet, the Holy Ghost, the whole time that man was preaching, the Holy Ghost said, He's talking to you. I read a book by a preacher. I think he's a crook. I think the man's a crook. I'm almost certain he is. He went to jail. Not like the Apostle Paul. He didn't go to jail for preaching. He went to jail for hiring somebody to burn down a highway patrolman's house for giving his ticket a daughter. And I read that man's book on the second coming of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, every chapter, talked to me from that man that wasn't even worth reading behind. And I was already under Holy Ghost conviction. And everything I'd read, he was talking to me that I was going to hell. And if the rapture happened, I wasn't going, but my wife and kids were. Now look, all you got to do is be available. And then all you got to do is go and open your mouth, and God, the Holy Ghost, will begin to talk. You ladies can talk about sowing. And while you're talking about sowing, the Holy Ghost is saying, you're going to reap what you've been sowing. You can talk about cooking, and the Holy Ghost is going to say, yeah, you're going to cook. Amen. You're going to fry. Amen. Amen. You guys can go talk about race car driving and having. We only like to talk about the wrecks when we talk about race car racing. You know, it's only fun if they have wrecks. And we'll talk about how that thing flipped, and that meant it's a miracle to man live. And the Holy Ghost say, he's talking about you. It's a miracle you alive, you heathen. Do y'all not see that? And those people come to my house, and I'd sit there and listen to that, and they try to be nice to me, but they scared me to death. Because the Spirit of God was with them, and he taught while they taught. And I felt his power, and I felt his presence. I'd go to church, and I couldn't tell you one sermon Bully Fonberry preached, not one. I don't know anything he preached. All I know is he was pointing right at me the whole time. Now, he really wasn't. The Holy Spirit was. And I don't know what he was talking about, but I know this. I know what the Holy Ghost was talking about. You need to get saved, boy. You're going to die and go to hell. Come to the Savior. Every sermon, everything, that's what it said. But all he needed was somebody to open their mouth. I've been to people's houses, been in church all their life. We get to talking about all kinds of stuff, and ends up on getting saved. And they'll say, and I'll say, have you ever been saved? Or I'll say, when did you get saved? That's kind of sneaky, ain't it? When did you get saved? And they'll say, I got saved. Well, I'm not sure. And I say, well, good. Let me help you with that. All you got to do is open your mouth. So, number one, you got to have somebody that's willing to go and open their mouth. Number two, you got to have the Spirit of God in the conversation. And number three, look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same what? Talk to me. The same what? Scripture. And preached unto him who? You've got to have a person of God that will bring the Spirit of God to share the Word of God. Now, it don't matter what you talk about when you first start talking to people. If you're a child of God, it's always going to end up on this. Whether you think you're witnessing or not, you are witnessing. And as a child of God, it doesn't matter. You're going to end up talking about the Bible if you're right with God. I don't see how people can talk about church and talk about living right and talk about raising your family right and the Bible not come in on the conversation. Amen? If I was at Disneyland and run into Mickey Mouse and talked to him long enough, I'd be talking about the Bible. You see that big head trying to get away from me. I'm sure Billy's done that. As many times he's frequent. They would all be saved down there by now. They are, amen. I want you to look, realize this. Philip had no training. He had no seminars. He had no Bible college. He had never attended Sunday school. They didn't even have Sunday school then. He'd never attended Sunday school. He did not know the Roman road. He didn't even know there was a plan of salvation. All he knew is he was saved and this man was seeking and the Spirit of God was moving and what the Scripture said is what he needed to hear. So he started right where the man was reading, Isaiah 53. And he preached unto him Jesus. Now, I appreciate when people go to a place and say, well, you ought to come to my church. You'll like my preacher. Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. Believe it or not, some people don't like me. Some people don't like this kind of preaching and teaching. Some people just don't like it. Even Christians, some don't like it. But it's more important you go to people and you say, look, the most important thing is knowing if you died, you go to heaven. And if you'll come to our church, I'll guarantee you, you'll hear the Scriptures that will tell you how to be saved and know it. When we first went to our mother church, Independent Bible Baptist Church, that first Sunday we had 26 kids on the van. That van held 15 pastors. We had 26 kids. Sat on pews about the size of this, if I remember right. Sister Earnhardt, you probably remember. It might have been a little longer pews. Looked like these, though. We sat on those pews. And we kept all the kids together, you know, because we'd brought them, we'd left another church. And we'd always had ministry with children and bus ministry and stuff. And when we left the other church, I called Pastor Coley. I said, can we bring a bunch of kids to church? He said, sure you can. I said, can we use the van? He said, sure you can. But he had no idea what I was fixing to do. Had no idea. And that Sunday morning, we rode in there with about 26 kids on that little old van. They were sitting like this, hot, and just scrounged and scrunched up, you know. And we took them in there, and everybody was amazed. And we sat them all together. Me and my wife kept them. Of course, they were pretty controlled anyway. And that day, these kids went to Sunday school. And that night, I remember Sister Devota stood up and testified. And she said, Pastor, I had a little black girl in my Sunday school class today, and she gave me sugar. And another one stood up and testified about one of those kids. And another one stood up, and then we started bringing more. And he, Brother Jason was so sweet. He bought us this big old bus. He bought us a big bus, 60 passengers. He bought us a bus. And he was so excited. He went out there and he got armor all and he cleaned up that bus and he put it on the seats and he put it on the floor. He put it on my seat and on the steering wheel. It was so pretty. That bus was so pretty. See, he never had a bus that people really rode on. He just had buses that looked good. And we come in church that morning with a busload of kids that we tell them to stay in the seat and behave. And every time I turn a curve, zip, slide out. They'd be sitting in the aisle, and then I put on brakes, they'd slide forward. Every time I'd turn, I'd go like this in the seat, and I'd go like that in the seat. They got up to get off, and they was ice skating down the aisle to get off the bus. I never did tell him. I never did tell him. After about 4 weeks, I said, "Pastor, we want to join the church, but if your church won't take these kids, we won't come." He said, "Well, we'll have to talk about it." So he talked to his deacons. He talked to trustees. I don't know who all he had talked to, but I remember that night they were supposed to vote on it or okay it or something, and he brought it up at the end of the service, and Brother Arnold McCarver stood up, and he was crying. He said, "Preacher, if we don't let these youngins come, we're going to have to write Ichabod over the door because God's going to part from this place." And then they started asking me, "How you do that?" And I said, "If you'll come to my house Saturday morning, I go visit." And every Saturday morning I visit my bus route. "And if you'll come, I'll teach you how to do it." That Saturday morning we had 19 members of Independent Bible Baptist Church show up in my front yard in Rock Hill Homes. 19. You know what I told them to do? I said, here's a bag of candy. Here's some names and addresses. Go see them. Well, what I say, I don't care what you say. Just go see them. Give them a piece of candy. Tell them you love them. Tell them you want them to go to heaven when they die. Talk to their parents. Hey, tell them the bus will be by in the morning to pick them up. And that the church loves them. And the Sunday school teacher loves them. And the Spirit of God will do the rest. You don't need training. You need a person who's willing to go. You need the Spirit of God who can speak through that person. And you need the Word of God to share with them. And I don't care if you don't know but one verse. John 3:16 would save the whole world. For God, that's Him, the Creator of the universe. So loved, that's the greatest love's ever been on the planet Earth. The world, that's everybody in it. Amen. That he gave free, doesn't cost you anything. His only begotten Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Never been another one like Him, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died in the sinner's place, rose from the dead the third day. And He so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's anybody, that's you, that's a drunk, that's a drug addict, that's a prostitute, that's a pimp, that's a pervert, whatever, whosoever believeth in Him, that's Jesus Christ, Him, not the church, Him, not the baptism, whosoever believeth in Him, should not perish, that's die and go to hell, but have everlasting life, that's heaven. Now you can preach to anybody with that one verse right there. That's the Word of God. And did you know they can get saved off of that verse right there? You say, "Now wait a minute, preacher, we've got to take them down the Roman road." No, most people's already halfway down that road, and they need somebody to get them off that road. They know there's a God in heaven. They know there's sinners. They know they're going to hell if they stand before a holy God. And they need somebody to run alongside the chariot and say, "Understand us what you've been reading, what you've been hearing preached. Let me help you." And then we preach unto them Jesus, and they get saved. You say, "Preacher, I don't know how I'm going to do that." I'll tell you, just like He told Isaiah, "Open your mouth wide, I'll fill it." Pray. "Lord, help me. Give me the words to say. Put a guard at my lips so I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't. Help me, Lord." And I'll guarantee. Did you know when I first got saved, I didn't know that everybody thought that you couldn't do that? I just thought if you did that, people would get saved. I hadn't run into those naysayers yet that said you can't get saved this way and you can't get saved that way. I just thought if I could tell them and they could hear it and they received it, they'd be saved just like I was. I hadn't been educated out of it yet. So I went around telling people. And before I knew a scripture, you know what I'd say, BJ? I'd say, they'd say, "Well, you've been going to church, haven't you?" I said, "Yeah, I have." And they said, "Well, you're different." I said, "Yeah, I am." And I said, "But I can't explain it. But if you'll come down there at that church with me this Sunday, that preacher preaches it every Sunday, and you can get what I got." Amen. You don't have to be a preacher, evangelist. All you got to do is be a person that allows the Holy Spirit and you go and you share the Word of God that you know, and they can be saved. Did you know the greatest mission field right now in this church is the families of this church? You have more people in your families right now that are lost than I'll ever be able to get to going out there with people just handing me addresses. You are the preacher in your house. You're the preacher in that family. And if you'll just stand up and open your mouth and pray, the Holy Spirit will give you the word to say to them. You look at that daughter and say, baby, please don't go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. The Holy Ghost doesn't want you to go to hell. The church doesn't want you to go to hell. And I certainly don't want you to go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Hey, that'll do better than my preaching if you do that. Look at that son-in-law and say, look, I ain't like you when you married my daughter. But now I got to love you, so you need to get saved. Please get saved. Please don't go to hell. My grandchildren need a daddy, and my daughter needs a husband. Please get saved. Please get saved. You look at those little children when they turn 12, 13 and get rebellious. You can say, look here, I know you think you know everything, but you don't know everything yet. And I've been there, and I know what it's like. And I don't want you to go through the hell I went through to get where I am today. Please get saved. Please get saved. Don't die and go to hell. Amen. Greatest mission field is the family, the church. And if you guys would go to preaching, we could see some things. Because, see, they think it's my job to tell them. They think you tell them because you love them. And they're going to get mad. Yeah, they're going to. Some of them. Everybody's not going to be like the unit. But some of them are. Some of them seeking it right now, and you don't know it. And you won't know it until you become a willing spokesperson led by the Spirit and have a couple scriptures. And you'll see it. As soon as you start talking, things will start happening. How can we have Thanksgiving dinner knowing people's going to hell sitting around that table? How can we have Christmas knowing people we love sitting around that table going to hell, and half the families don't even pray over their Thanksgiving meal or their Christmas meal? Boy, Thanksgiving, you'll say, let me return thanks for this and pray, our Heavenly Father, I want you to save everybody around this table today. I thank you that you saved me and you kept me and you saved my wife and you saved so and so. But Lord, there's some in the family circle and it's going to be broken. Some of them ain't saved. Lord, would you save them? And on this Thanksgiving day, I want to thank you for what you're going to do with them. Boy, wouldn't that turn some Thanksgivings upside down? On Christmas, before you give out those stinking heathen presents, say, listen, let's pray and remember the real reason for this today. And thank you, Lord, for the presents. Thank you for the holiday. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving my wife. But Lord, in this crowd, some of them ain't saved yet. Lord, help us. Give us that gift of salvation in this family. Let everybody be saved. It turned that Christmas upside down, buddy. All you need is a willing person and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's all you need. You know what I do when I talk to people? Sometimes they won't let me pray for them. I mean, they won't. They won't get saved. They won't let me talk to them, and they won't let me quote scripture. I'll say, "Can I pray for you?" They'll say, "Well, sure, you can pray for me." I'll say, "Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for your Son who died in my place. Thank you for your Son who paid the sin debt for all sinners. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died in sinners' place so they could be saved simply by believing on Him and calling on Him. And Lord, I pray you'd help this man see that and you'd help him get saved. He thought I was going to pray for his crops to grow. He thought I was going to pray for a new job or a new car. Pray the scripture, man. Pray it out loud." Amen. There's a lot of eunuchs out there looking. You used to be one of them. I dare you this week, I dare you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And just go to somebody and open your mouth and start talking. And have it in your heart, that's what you're going to talk about. Now you can start off with football, I don't care how you get started, but end up with salvation. And then look them dead in the eye and say, "Has that ever happened to you?" That's all you got to say. "Has that ever happened to you?" I used to work with Jehovah's Witness. Wonderful woman. one for one. I sold insurance. She hadn't traveled with me, around selling insurance. And she was a wonderful woman. Clean, lived a clean life, hated sin. We'd go try to sell insurance to people, and she'd go and clean up the house while I'm selling insurance. Might have been you. And one day we had to go on I had to drive an hour to get where we was going. And I done made up my mind. Everybody tiptoed around that woman in that office, and I did too. But that day I said, I'm not tiptoeing today. I'm going to tell this woman about my salvation. And as we went down the road, I told her everything about it. I told her how I grew up. I told her how I didn't go to church. I told her what the devil did to me. And then I told her how I got witnessed to and got under conviction, got in church, got born again, got saved, and how it changed my life. And she looked at me and she said, Ronnie, I ain't never heard nothing like that in my life. And I said, you know what the Bible calls that? Jesus called it. She said, what? I said, I was born again. She said, we're going to have to talk about this later more. Now, we didn't. But she knows now. I used to work with one, a Jehovah's Witness. And I worked at a machine shop, and I'd run these parts, and it would cut them down. I can't explain all that. But he was an inspector, a young man, young black man. And he would come by, and he would inspect my parts. And one day, me and there was two older black ladies and two older white women that ate lunch every day right outside under a picnic shelter there at Bendix Breaks. And we'd eat lunch and have a little Bible study. And when he came to work there, he saw us having that Bible study. And after 2 weeks, he went to his car, and one of the black ladies said, uh-oh, what is that he's carrying? New World Translation. And he came over and sat down with us, and we began to talk, and we began that Bible study about the new birth and being saved and being regenerated. And he sat there and he turned in his scriptures, though they didn't always match ours. He was very honest and open about it. He said, I need to hear more about this. And every day he'd come to our Bible study. And then later on, he's standing there and he's measuring my parts. He said, he handed me a Watchtower magazine. He said, will you read this? I said, I've read them many times. He said, will you read them if I bring them to you? I said, on one condition. He said, what's that? I said, everywhere that I think it disagrees with Scripture, I'm going to write the Scripture out beside where I think it disagrees. And I'm going to write the Scripture, and you've got to go read the Scripture. He said, okay, it's a deal. And after about 3 weeks, it was Easter, coming up Easter. And he brought me one on that Jesus did not rise from the dead bodily, because they don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. Therefore, they are not saved. And so it was all against Easter. And so where it was wrong, I'd write out there the Scripture. And I wrote out the account of Thomas there in the upper room. He wasn't there the first time, but he was there the second time when Jesus appeared. And the first time he said, I won't believe till I put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I'm not going to believe it. And the next time Jesus showed up, Jesus said, Thomas, put your finger in the print of the nails and thrust your hand in my side and see that it is I. I said, what does that sound like? He said, it sounds like he had a body. A couple days later, brought me another one. And it was still right after Easter season. And so I wrote down the scripture where Jesus called them and said, children, do you have any meat? And they were fishing. Peter said, I'm going to fishing. He got backslid, went back to fishing, took everybody with him, as most backsliders do. And Jesus appeared on the shore with some fish and some bread. And it says he ate with them. I said, a ghost can't eat, man. The spirit doesn't eat. If he put it in his mouth, it'd fall out on the ground. I said, what does that sound like? He said, it sounded like he had a body. I wasn't preaching at him. I was just sharing a few scriptures. And then later on, he came to me and he said, this sounds something like this sounds different than what they're teaching me, and we're going to study the Bible, and I'm going to keep studying this stuff. And then he came to me and he said, I got bad news. I said, what's that? He said, they're moving me to New York City to work in the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower Society headquarters. Who do you think did that? But you know the way I like to think about that? I put a virus in that thing, man. He'd never believe the same again after the scriptures. That's all we do. We talk to people. And we ask the Spirit to lead us. And people are saved. Did you know in the New Testament there is no organized soul winning? The preacher didn't have to say, show up at church at 7 o'clock and I'm going to tell you who to go see and what to say. They talked to everybody they knew. And people got saved. Why don't we do that? I dare you this week to do it. Just talk to people. You've got the greatest gift the universe has ever known, eternal life. Just talk to people. And people, I promise you, people will get saved. Let's stand. Father, you know our hearts.